James chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. That's where we'll stop reading right there. Let's look at 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. All right. Maybe an unusual text. This is what feel like the Lord has given us, and you pray for us for just a few minutes. If the Lord will help me for just a little while, I'd like to preach on your death penalty. And I know that's a popular topic on the news channels and things like that. Some people are for it, and some people are against it. I'm not talking about capital punishment. I'm talking about your death penalty. Whenever it's somebody that's committed some heinous crime, they've stabbed someone, or this fellow that ran the U-Haul into the White House, or the one that shot and killed several in Texas here a few weeks ago. We think of that, and we see the carnage that they've left, and we say, well, they get what they deserve. And you don't know that person. You don't know what kind of person they are or what kind of life they've lived. But what if it were you? Now, you feel a little different about it when it's you. When you're facing the death penalty. That's a little different, isn't it? Your death penalty. Now listen to this verse again. You pray for us for just a little while. Then when lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. See, that's the progression. When we sin, there's a consequence. Imagine that. When we sin, there's something that's going to follow that sin. We can't just do whatever we want to do. Did you know that? We can't just do whatever we want to do. And you pray for me. I'd like to get myself out of the way and get to the Lord for just a minute. But your death penalty, you see, when sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And then the writer's advice to me and you is, do not err, my beloved brethren. Has anybody ever gotten away with it? Has anybody ever escaped the consequences of sin? I haven't. You won't. We read about folks in the Bible that committed sin. How did they fare? What happened to them? Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And let's back up for just a thought. Let's go right here. 14. But every man, woman, boy, or girl, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. You see, if the Lord will help me preach for just a few minutes tonight, You may have heard me preach something before and you said, well, that don't pertain to me. If the Lord will help me preach this tonight, I'm preaching it to you. And to the person sitting next to you and the person on the other side of you. You see, we all have a death penalty. My death penalty. We read about Adam and Eve sat down in a perfect place in the Bible. God created them, the Garden of Eden. And they had one job, to dress the garden and to keep it. And then we get down to God created man, we've preached that before, in his own image and his own likeness, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The only creature that God created that he took the time to put his hands on. And it's not like the Michelangelo painting in the Sistine Chapel where God's finger and man's finger touch. It wasn't a one-time thing where he molded Adam and made him in his image and in his likeness. Call me Adam. Hello, Adam.
Thank you.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Adam. Hello, Adam. Hello, Adam. Hello, Adam. And you see, God still has his hands on each and every one of us. Even today, he's still molding and making us. I believe one scripture said he was the potter and I was the clay.
Amen.
I heard this song. Adam Alder sings it. He said, I'm so glad he didn't throw the clay away. You see, sometimes I'm cracked. Sometimes my vessel is broken. Sometimes it's got a fault. Or something wrong with it. When you look at it, it may not just set just right. But God doesn't give up on Adam. He still takes his hands and molds and makes us into his image and into his likeness. Not just in the beginning of time, but every day. Oh, Adam, you were made in God's image and in God's likeness. Sat down in a perfect place. He let you name everything that you could see, hear, and smell, and taste. He even took a rib and made a helpmeet for you. Someone to help you out along life's way. To be there for you. So you wouldn't be lonesome. To be there for you when you have trouble. To be there for you when you needed a friend.
Yeah, he'll be Lord.
Thank you.
God did so much for you, Adam. But Adam and Eve weren't the only ones there, were they? I've heard people make their brags. If you pray for me, I'd like to get through this. I've heard people make their brags. I'd like to give Satan a black eye. Oh, I'd like to fight him. You better resist the devil and he will flee from you. Shun the very appearance of evil. If Eve had done what she should have done the very instant she saw the serpent, the very instant she heard him sneak his way through, she should have resisted. She should have shunned him. She should have run away. Listen, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You know what Satan's number one job is? To
to tempt you. Right. And he knows what bothers Johnny Ellison. Right. And he'll set that right down in front of him and make it look so pretty and so irresistible. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to justify that thing that this flesh desires. And then when we're enticed and lust is conceived, listen, Eve didn't have to taste that to see it. Did you know that? Eve didn't have to put that fruit to her mouth to see it. All she had to do was put her finger on it. And if you're not careful, when it's here, it's here, it's here, and it's here. It's in your hands, it's in your mouth, it's in your mind, it's in your heart.
Bless the Lord. Bless me. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Why did taking that fruit, why was that sin? Because God said no.
That's right.
Because God said not to. Mm-hmm. Now, this is just dumb old Mike's way of thinking about it. I don't know where the garden was. I don't know what kind of trees there were there. But I could see an apple tree over here. If you didn't like red apples, right over here is another tree with golden delicious. If you didn't like apples, over here is a tree with oranges on it. And if you didn't like apples and oranges, over here is a banana tree. And if you didn't like them, over there is one with coconuts. You name it, God provided.
Amen.
Has he ever not fed you? I once was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous Amen. Forsaken, Amen. Nor his seed begging bread. Amen. You've got it all, Adam. Amen. But of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it, lest ye die. And you know what Satan used? You know what the serpent used? He used God's word. He used God's word, God's own word. Just changed the wording a little bit. Well, now, it doesn't matter, preacher. It does, too.
Yeah.
It does, too.
Yes, sir.
You can't change it. Did you
That's
know
right.
that?
That's right.
It's forever settled in heaven. Pray on for just a few minutes. So you know what Eve did. She justified sin. The Lord told her not to take of that. And she looked at it. And it was pleasant to the eyes. And it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. And it was good for food. So why not? That's exactly what Adam has told himself.
That's right.
That's exactly what you, Adam, have told yourself. Why not? Nobody's going to know. I'm not hurting anybody. Said Achan, whose whole family was stoned and burned because of his sin. See, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Your death penalty. She took the fruit, she ate, and gave to her husband, and he did eat. And how did they fire? Did they get away with that? Did they just go right back to that tree and get some more? No. In the cool of the day, Adam hears his name, and he knows who it is.
That's right.
There is no mistaking the voice of the Lord. He knew who it was. Adam, where art thou? And I'm going to say this to you. God already knew. He wasn't asking him, I can't find you, where are you? He knew where Adam was. What are you talking about, preacher? He knew Adam's spiritual life, and he knew Adam where he wasn't where he needed to be.
Right.
He knew he had sinned, but he wanted Adam to confess.
Amen.
Where art thou? And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I hid myself, for I was naked. Mm-hmm. Who told thee thou was naked? Have you eaten of the tree of the fruit of good and knowledge that I told you not to eat of? And he told him what happened. And you know what happened. Now listen. My death penalty. The very second that Eve's finger touched the fruit, death was pronounced upon humanity. The very second that Adam put that fruit in the palm of his hand, death was pronounced upon him. What do we read about? We read all about the penalties, about the pain in childbirth for Eve. We read about that Adam's going to have to till the ground from which he came. We read about the serpent and how that the seed is going to bruise his head and Satan's going to bruise the seed's heel. And then we read where God took the coats, the skins of animals to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. You know what that means? Something had to die to cover sin. My death penalty. Sin is always followed by death. Didn't get any easier for Adam and Eve. Just a few days down the road, just a year or two or five or ten, their own sons turn on one another. And Cain, because his offering did not please God, because it came from the flesh, how often is that what we give you? Listen. Doing something because we like to do it is not a good enough excuse to do it. Even if it's something that's for good. If it's not pleasing to God, we're wasting our time. Because Abel's offering was accepted and Cain's was rejected, Cain was jealous and he slew his own brother. Death. We have lived to the day that we think the only sin, and I know it's quiet, and I'm doing my best that I can do for you. We have lived to the day that adultery and drunkenness and flat out taking a gun or a knife and killing somebody is the only sin that we think is anything wrong with. A little jealousy, one second, let me tell you something. Jealousy caused the death of Abel. How did that work out for Cain? Did he slip by? Did he get away with that? No! You know what happened? The Lord heard the voice of Abel. His blood was crying out from the ground. And Cain had to be punished, didn't he? He said this, we hear his own words, my punishment is more than I can bear. He had a mark put on him and he was a vagabond for the rest of his days. And sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. You know what happened? We always think about it in terms of the heart stop beating. We think about it in terms of the lungs stop filling up with air. It killed his relationship with the only family he had ever known. The death of a family unit right there. And lust, when it is conceived, bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. Well, that was Adam and Eve. What about a man after God's own heart? Surely he could get away with it, couldn't he? Oh, he slew Goliath, slew a giant, gave the battle to the Lord, won many victories for the children of God. Surely he could get away with a little sin. On a day, and I think Johnny missed it Sunday night. On a day when kings went forth to battle, David stayed home. Let's go to the New Testament. A little leaven leaveth the whole lump. If you commit one sin, The second one's a whole lot easier.
Amen.
And the third one, a barely register. And the fourth one, you won't even think about. Here's a man that was a mighty man of God, a man after God's own heart. And his first sin that we read about was he stayed home from church, if you'll have it. His people were in a battle. The children of Israel were out on the battlefield, and Joab, the captain of the host, was leading them, and he was out there after them. And we read on down, whatever David is talking to Uriah, the husband of the woman that he's going to commit adultery with, he won't go to his house, and he won't sleep with his own wife, because his heart and his desire is to fight for God's children and to beat her and help Joash in the battle. Oh, David, you went from missing a church service to lusting after some other man's wife to committing lies and murder. Oh, David, look at what's happening. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. You know what happened? The child that David and Bathsheba conceived was taken and died. And David bleeding and begging, oh God, help me. But let me tell you something. There's a price for sin. It's your death penalty. Oh, I mentioned the man Achan. He's just a little thief, isn't he? He just took a Babylonian garment, some gold and silver, nobody knew. Here's your first clue, Achan. If you got to hide it, it's sin. Achan, if you couldn't put that garment on and wear it right out there in the middle of the church service, it's sin. If you're ashamed of the way you got it, Achan, it's sin. Amen. He went and took that stuff, and he dug a hole in his tent in the ground, and he buried it. And he probably thought, Mrs. Achan don't know. Achan Jr. don't have a clue. My little precious baby girl, she don't have a clue how dirty and rotten and low down her daddy is. But let me tell you something. When you sin, it affects the whole household.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Achan, don't you know? Don't you realize what you've done? Now let's go back to the verse. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Mm-hmm. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Israel had won a great victory. The walls of Jericho had fallen without the children of Israel firing a single shot. They walked in, took possession of the city, and took the spoils, and they were supposed to be given to the Lord. Oh, Achan, a little leaven and leaveneth the whole lump. Oh, Achan, when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Nobody knows. I'm doing all right. I'll keep that hidden. One of these days, when nobody else is looking, I'll enjoy that. Oh, Achan. Came battle time again. Came time for the children of Israel to stand once more. Let me tell you something. If the Lord comes by tonight and saves 10 in this service, Sunday we'll be in a battle again. And Sunday night we'll be in a battle again. And next Wednesday night we'll be in a battle again. And we're always going to need God to win the battle. Just a little battle, just a little country. We don't even have to send everybody. And they went down to the battle.
And if I'm not mistaken, the little town of Ai put Israel on the run, and 36 men lost their lives. And you know why? Well, Joshua didn't, did he? And it tore him up. Did you know we've got church members at Dutch Bottoms?
Yep.
And they have no clue right now whether or not the church door's open. We've got church members at Dutch Bottoms. And they have no clue whether the house is full or the house is empty. And they don't care. Now, I'm not picking on Dutch Bottoms. You write out, you mark out Dutch Bottoms Baptist, and you put anything you want to in those 3 months, in the name of any other church you want to. Every church is in the same way. You might call that Aiken Baptist Church. Did Aiken care because 36 men died? He didn't come running with that stuff back to Joshua, did he? He didn't say, here, destroy this, take it back. Let me take it back into Jericho and lay it back down where I found it. Do something with it. Somebody's died, and it's because of me. When sin, when it is finished, break forth dead. Aiken, look at what your sin has caused. Men have died because you decided to be greedy, because you decided to covet something, because you decided that you were going to have what you wanted to have and you deserved it. Let me tell you something. Yeah. I never come first. You never come first. God is always number one. We're not done with Aiken. If you thought 36 men, don't take this the wrong way, Philip. But if Philip's cousin's uncle dies, I don't know him. But if my wife dies, well, that's a different story. My death will be. So Joshua prayed, and the Lord did tell him this: until the accursed thing is removed from the camp of Israel, there's no need to fight. You're always going to lose. Well, the preacher will take care of things. The way I read that scripture, Joshua was wasting his time telling them to fight. All he could do was go through tribe by tribe, family by family, man by man, until the accursed thing was made known and gotten rid of. I'm just a little church member. I don't even belong to this church. If you're part of it, you consider her your home. What you do has an effect on her.
That's right.
Let me say that again. Yep. Whether you're a young person or an old person, if you consider Dutch Bottoms your church, what you do has an effect on the church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Sure
did. Let me just touch on this. You remember when Jesus was, it was rumored he was in the house and the man was there sick with a palsy. And there were four men that carried him in. And they couldn't get to the Savior because the crowd was so great. So they took him, you know the story. They had to put forth extra effort. Have you ever lifted a man over your head? I don't know that I could. It took four of these men to get him up on the roof and tear away the roof and let the man down. And you think about the resistance they had to have to lower him down without breaking every bone in his body, dropping him in there. All that work that had to be put forth because somebody was standing in the way. And when you're part of the church and you've got sin, you're in the way. And leaving ain't going to get you out of the way. You can't just walk off and leave it. The only way you can get yourself out of the way is to get right with God.
Amen.
All right. And sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. So you know the story. They went family, tribe by tribe, family by family, man by man, until Achan stood before Joshua. You see, he had to be confronted. Sometimes that don't even work. Remember that fellow David I preached to you about a minute ago? Before he would confess his sin, Nathan had to say, "Thou art the man."
It's me.
Achan said, "Thus and thus have I done." And it's down there in my tent. They sent men to get it. And they brought Josh. They brought Achan. And they brought his wife. And they brought his children. And there stood Achan and his whole family and everything that he owned. And seeing when it is finished, bring forth death. They stoned Achan. You ever had somebody throw a rock at you? When I was about these young men's age, my dad had a 65 Ford Fairlane station wagon with 255 air conditioning. And it was summertime, and we had the windows rolled down, and we were passing by the little road that goes up to where the skating rink is down here, Dutch Bottom Skating Rink. That wasn't always blacktop. That was gravel for years and years and years. And as we passed by, there was some young man that was mighty proud of his vehicle that he had, and he stepped on the gas and the wheel caught a rock and slung the rock and came through the window and hit me right here in the head. And there was a knock the size of my fist. And Dad got a little upset. And he went up to visit the young man and tell him what had happened. You see, you may not mean for your behavior to affect somebody else, but it always does. Achan, his wife, his sons, his daughters, and the whole crowd of the children of Israel throwing rock after rock. After rock. Just one was enough to bring a huge pump on it on the side of my head. Can you imagine being hit time after time after time? And then when that was said and done, we'll strike a match and they burn him to death. Seeing when it is finished, bring forth death. Well, preacher, what I did was a long time ago and it ain't affecting nobody. When's the last time you felt the power of God? When's the last time that, I'm not talking about grandma tears. I'm not talking about my dog died tears. I'm not talking about all my life is so hard tears. I'm talking about the joy that comes forth when you know you're saved. I'm talking about tears that flow down just to rejoice that you're not going to hell anymore. I'm talking about the tears that come from the peace that's way down deep on the inside. When somebody says, "I'm glad I'm saved," and the thought crosses your mind, "I'm glad I am too." Oh, I'm talking about I'm going to a better country and we all get to go together and we can praise and worship and rejoice and the tears flow. When's the last time you shed a tear over the power of God in your life?
Amen.
Sin kills that.
Amen.
Sin cuts that off. Don't tell me you got away with it, honey. I worked that you were hot or cold. For if you're lukewarm, I believe we got a crowd of Christians. Can't really call them that, can we now? Because Christ didn't sin. So how can we call ourselves a Christian if we got sin in our life? I might be saved, but I'm not always a Christian. You know what we are when we're lukewarm? We're fooling ourselves, and that's the only person we're fooling.
That's right.
Because the church knows. The church knows. They might be polite, they might not say anything, but they know whether or not you've got the power of God in your life. It's evidence. And when it's me, and it's never about Him, you don't have it. You see, you can be spiritually dead.
Amen.
You can be sitting here right now. And listen, folks, I'm going to wrap this up in just a second. I believe being saved brings you some joy.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And if the only time you can shed the tears when you're miserable, well, the way of a transgressor is hard. Lust, when it is conceived, bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. For it is appointed unto man once to die. And after death, and judgment. So we see, let me just get this to my death penalty. If I went out or if I was accused of, and you know how everybody is, everybody's innocent. But if they accused me of taking a gun and shooting somebody or stabbing somebody or killing somebody or something like that, they would say, we're going to have a jury of your peers come in and execute judgment upon you. And the state, if they deem it to be so, will take care of you. The state will execute your death penalty. But you see, there wasn't a jury of my peers condemned me. My death penalty. There wasn't 12 people that looked at your sin and said they deserve to die. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. You want to know where your death penalty came from? It was self-inflicted.
Yeah.
You chose it. You chose when you chose to sin. But there's pleasure in sin for a season. In the next week, it's going to go from the 60s and 70s to the 80s. And 2 weeks from now, it'll go from the 80s to the 90s. And in 3 months from now, it'll go from the 90s back to the 70s. And the greenery that you see right now, the leaves are going to be brown, they're going to be gold, they're going to be red, they're going to be yellow. And you know what's happening? The seasons change. You might really have a ball right now, but look out. The season's going to change. And the pleasure will be over. And the penalty will kick in. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. So you see, my friend, it's not your peers that you're going to judge you. It's not even your preacher that's going to judge you. I have hard enough time keeping me straight.
What?
there'll be a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And before we get to that day, let's start with this day. For the time has come, and now is, that judgment must first begin at the house of God. I'm doing all right, are you? Well, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? We like to think of ourselves as Christians, don't we? But listen, if we sin, does that not make us a sinner?
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Judgment's already begun.
Right.
And one day every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that he's King of kings and Lord of lords to the glory of God the highest. I, John, saw the dead, great and small, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the books were opened. And when he opens the books and he looks, I'm sorry, but you're guilty. I'm sorry, but you're guilty. I'm sorry, but you're guilty. But then, this young fella with another book that's sealed up takes that book and loosens the seals and opens it up. And that person that was guilty, condemned to die an eternal death in hell, to burn forever and ever, to be tormented forever in darkness. That person, when the book is open, the seals are loosened, and he looks on the pages and he says, "You're pardoned. Here's your name. You're saved. You're redeemed. I paid the price for your sin. You don't have to go." Oh, how wonderful it is. Does that mean I can do anything I want to? No. Once I've been saved by the grace of God, there remaineth no more remission. But I'm here to tell you today, the sins that I commit after I'm saved, you're looking at the fella that's going to have to pay for them. I'm paying for them right now, and I'll pay every day until the last breath I draw. I'm not hurting anybody. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Do you ever stop to think about if your life is spiritual, you can lead somebody to the Lord?
Amen.
Do you ever stop to think about if that sin went in your life, your testimony alone would be enough to draw somebody to Christ? Ask the woman at the well. I don't remember anybody else walked down there to the well with her that day, do you? But when she went running back to the city and said, "Come see a man," they said, "I got to hear this. Something's different about her. I got to hear what's going on." She had the Spirit. She had that living water on the inside. What we do makes a difference. And the sin you commit will cause death of some kind or another. Death of your testimony. Death of your prayer life. Death of your witness. Death of that spirit that's within you. You cannot please God in a dirty vessel. It just will not work. I've seen folks, and I'm going to come to a close. I've seen folks get angry at one another, and they never did bring it up again, but they never had a testimony.
They never shed a tear. They might have been there every time the church door was open. But you never saw that joy in their life again. You know what happened? Something died. Sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. Who wants to live to 100 and never feel the presence of God again? Just take me right now, if that's what my life is. Just take me right now. Yeah. I want to feel His presence, don't you? I like this song. It says, and He walks with me.
Yes.
And He talks. Ain't that sweet?
Yes, it is.
And He talks with me.
Yes.
And He tells me I am His own. Oh, how much easier that makes life, don't it?
Yes.
And the joy we share as we turn third and other as ever. I can't tell you how good it is to walk and talk with Him. I can't tell you how great it feels to have Him as my best friend.
Amen.
I can't tell you the peace that it gives me when He holds me in His arms. But sometimes we misgivings conquer the day and face light I cannot see. I ask my dear Lord to brighten the way. He whispers, sweet, what a sound. He whispers sweet peace to me. Just take me. If I can't feel His presence.
Praise the Lord.
Just go ahead and call up to Maida's funeral home. If I can't spend one more day with Him. I had to hang. I love my life. And I want to spend every day I can with her. But if danger runs its course, there'll either be a few days I'll be here without her, or she'll be here without me. But I plan on spending every day with Jesus until the great day.
Amen.
And then I'll be encouraged.
Praise the Lord. It's good.
Thank you, Jesus.
Here we see it. And I've got children that don't go to church. Do you?
Yes.
Is me doing what Mike wants going to get them in church? No. I got neighbors that don't go to church. Do you? Is me living every ungodly way and saying every filthy word that I can think of going to get them in the sanctuary?
No.
Is me getting a little angry and upset and flashing that anger and bitterness whenever somebody crosses my path because they don't do what I want them to do, is that going to get them saved?
No.
What you do matters.
Yes, sir.
And sin brings death.
Yes, sir.
You boys take algebra. You've had algebra, haven't you? What's that equal sign mean? That means whatever's on this side is the same as whatever's on this side, right? So if you want to make an algebraic equation, well, you've lost me there, preacher. Stick with me. If you want to make an algebraic equation, on this side of the equal sign, you can just write S-I-N. And that's not that we normally see in algebra, but I'm talking about the sin. And on this side of the equal sign, you can put death, because they're the same. When you got one, you got the other. And it's always going to be that way. I can't add anything to it. I can't take anything away from it and change the outcome. Sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. Why do you think the writer said, do not err, my beloved brother? Be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that song? Little feet, be careful. Will you take me to? Anything for Jesus, only let me do. Be careful. Because your life makes a difference.
Amen.
Now, where's that at in the Bible, preacher? No man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself.
Amen.
Your life has consequences, good or bad, on the people around you.
That's right.
And sin, when it is finished, bring forth death. All right. Let me get this. I want to pick on Gary and Carol. Gary, I know there's no way on God's green earth you'd ever want to do anything to hurt Carol. I know that. Carol, I know there's no way on God's green earth you'd ever want to do anything to hurt Gary. But you see, whenever I've got something in my life, even if I don't mean to, it can hurt Tammy, my life. When she's got something in her life, and I may not have a clue about anything about it, but it's something that's separating her from God, it can affect me.
That's right. Amen.
You see, friends, and I wouldn't do anything to hurt my wife. I really wouldn't. I'd try my best to avoid it in any way, shape, or form.
Bless him.
Hurting her in any way. But when I do what Mike wants to do, that's what happens. When Tammy does what Tammy wants to do, that's what happens. When sin is finished, sin equals death. When sin is finished, bring forth death. That's why we've got to be careful. Do not err. He didn't say you should. He didn't say, well, a little bit. He said, don't. Boys, your folks ever said, don't? And when they did, you knew. You better stop right there. The writer said, don't. Do not err. Don't make a mistake. Don't give in. Don't do what you want to do. Don't cut short. Don't give in to anger. Don't give in to pride. Don't give in to the lust of the flesh. Whenever you see it, death is on the way.
That's right.